I'd like to share with you a little bit from the Word of God to encourage you. I know that God is speaking to this church, and God is calling. God is calling each one in this church to be a light where you are, because we know that God's heart is so big and open. He wants all men to be saved. He wants all men to be saved. That's His will. That's His desire. And I want to encourage you from the life of Moses. Moses was a man just like us. Moses did not become this great prophet that he was overnight. Of course, we know that the Bible talks and God talks very highly about Moses. For example, it talks about in Exodus 33 verse 11 that God spoke to Moses face to face as a friend would talk to a friend. It's amazing. Let's read Exodus 33 verse 11. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. I believe that God speaks in the Bible about Moses to show us that it is His desire to draw us all to Himself, into His presence. Another passage about Moses, when his brother Aaron and his sister Miriam rose against him, they just wanted to criticize their little brother a little bit. God comes and He speaks to them in Numbers 12, 5 through 8. Look how God speaks to Aaron and Miriam. Book of Numbers, chapter 12, verses 5 through 8. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. Then He said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" As we read about this man, we see that he receives the great revelation of the blood of the Lamb, about the power of the blood. And as we read the book of Revelation, we find out that in heaven we're going to sing a song that Moses and Jesus wrote together. It's amazing, the song that Moses and the Lamb of God wrote. Let's just open Revelation 15, chapter 15, verse 3. It says, "They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, 'Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested.'" And also another interesting fact about Moses, that in the spiritual realm after he died, there was a discussion about his body. Remember, Archangel Michael was talking to the devil. The devil was arguing about that. We don't know what the argument was, but it says in the epistle of Jude, the apostle. So Moses, the Bible says, after him, there was no such a prophet as Moses. But I want to encourage you today, God wants to draw all of us to Himself. And when He does, He speaks to us, something that He wants us to do for Him. Just as we heard this morning, God wants us to just openly, with open hearts, come to Him and say to Him, "Not my will, but yours be done." So Moses, when he hears God calling him, remember God spoke to him out of the burning bush. Moses knew that it'll be a hard thing to do God's will. God told him about it. But Moses didn't understand that it'll be very, very hard. Honestly, when God gives you something, God gives you a task that you will never be able to do it on your own. He will want you to, just like Moses, he wants you to believe in his word alone, that he will be with you. Remember, Moses was complaining and thinking that people aren't going to believe him. And God says, I will be with you, Moses. And so that's what God wants us to believe when he gives us something. We should not be afraid because he will be with us. On our own, it's impossible. So Moses, in the beginning, he always wanted support from his fellow brothers. Remember, he even asked God, how will they believe me? And God gives him three different signs. He gives him a sign of the staff that becomes a snake, and then a sign with his hand, it becomes covered with leprosy, and then he pulls it back out from his clothes, and it heals. And the sign with water turning into wine, water turning into blood. So God gives him those three signs and says, Moses, they'll believe you. And Moses seems to have a great success when he comes. He comes to Egypt and he gathers all the Israeli leaders, all the elders, and speaks a message and performs these signs. And the Bible says that they worshiped God. They believed Moses. I could just picture in Egypt, the Israelites were slaves. So it must have been very late at night. It was like an all-night prayer meeting or something. Moses comes and shares with them what God had told him. And then he performs those signs. And they had a beautiful, beautiful worship prayer meeting that night. Let's just read about it. It's in Exodus 4. I just picture these slaves just getting this hope that God has visited them. He sent them a deliverer. If you turn to Exodus 4, let's read from verse 29. Exodus chapter 4, verse 29. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then he did the signs in the sight of the people. So the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked on their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. It must have been a glorious worship service. Moses was so encouraged. The people believed him. Because right in the next chapter, chapter 5, Moses goes to Pharaoh. He goes to him boldly and he speaks to Pharaoh and tells him, let the people of God out of Egypt. Let's read verse 1 in chapter 5. It says, afterward, right after this prayer meeting, afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. So Moses has this great success. As you read chapter 5, his success disappears like a vapor. Pharaoh just looks at him and says, Moses, I don't know this Jehovah that you talk about. I'm not going to let the Israelites out of their work. You're lazy, Moses. Go back to your work. And he increases their labor. He takes away the straw, but he tells them Israelites need to produce the same number of bricks. You know the story. So if chapter 5 begins with Moses going to Pharaoh and speaking to him, how chapter 5 ends, it's pathetic. Because when this labor was increased and the beatings were increased, the Israelites told Moses, Moses, you shouldn't have come. It's because of you. Now we're going to die. Moses gets so discouraged. People don't believe him anymore. And look how Moses prays. In chapter 5 of Exodus, verses 22 to 23. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Why is it you have sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people. Neither have you delivered your people at all." Doesn't it sound like us? We are like that. We want the support of others. We want the support of a team, our family and friends. And when we have the support, we are bold, we're zealous. And when the support is gone, we become timid and fearful. And sometimes we even complain, "God, why did you send me?" Sometimes when you have an unsaved husband and you begin to pray for him, things turn out worse. And maybe you start complaining and saying, "Maybe I shouldn't pray." Or sometimes you go to your boss and you start witnessing to him, and he does something to you. Maybe he fired you for that. And you think, "Wow, God, you told me to go tell him about your love and now I'm fired." You know, sometimes when we do God's will, God wants us to rely totally on him, totally on his word. And it's interesting, even though Moses talks to God like this and actually accuses God for not being faithful to his word, I'm so thankful to the Lord that he is above all of our emotional swings. You know, we can be honest with him. He understands what we are. But he tells Moses something. And I believe he tells us the same thing. He wants us to rely totally on him, on his faithfulness. Because the Bible says that he exalted his word above his name. It's amazing. His promises to us are sure and amen. They're unshakable. And if God has called you to do something for him, and you started doing something, maybe you were like Moses, you were very timid and very needing encouragement, and something didn't turn out right away, and you got discouraged. Listen closely. That's how Moses was. But God speaks to him, and he reminds him of some things. And I believe he does the same thing with us. When we get down, when we face the opposition and the enemy wants us to be scared, God does the same thing as he does to Moses. And you know, I believe every time God speaks something to you and he has a mission that you need to do, many times you feel alone. It's good to have a team, and God will provide team members. But before he does, he wants to deal with you and I. He wants to bring us to himself where we can trust him and him alone. That's what he does with Moses. Let's read in Exodus chapter 6 now. Verses 1 through 5. And I will encourage you, there are four things, four reminders that God reminds Moses of. Right after Moses prays this prayer where he is bitter and fearful, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of this land.' And God spoke to Moses and said to him, 'I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, in which they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant.'" So let me share with you four things that God reminds Moses. Number one, God reminds Moses that he will do his promise. He will deliver his people. God reminds Moses of his intention, and he says, I will do it, Moses, with a strong hand, with a strong and mighty arm. So it's good when we get down, when we face the opposition, or when things don't go the way we expected right away. It's good to remember the calling that God has called you, the original calling, when he had spoken to your heart. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's what the Holy Spirit did to me when we face all these scary things and court cases and prosecutors. God just encourages us. He reminds us of what he intends to do. Not us, but he intends to do through us. And that's what God wants to remind you. If you're down today, maybe you started doing something for the Lord, and maybe it seemed like a failure. Holy Spirit wants to remind you how he spoke to you, and he will do what he said he will do. That's what God reminds Moses. He will do it with a strong hand. And then God reminds Moses of how he revealed himself to him. Look, verse 2 and 3. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. You know, this word Lord in the Bible, it stands for the word Jehovah, Yahweh. God appeared to Moses in the burning bush and said, I am Yahweh. Yahweh means self-existent, eternal Lord. And throughout the book of Exodus, God is saying, they will know and you will know and my people will know that I am self-existent. I am eternal Lord. And that's what God says to Moses. Moses, remember who I am. And he even tells him that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did not have that revelation. God revealed himself to them as God Almighty, as God Elohim. And they believed him. And God says, Moses, I revealed myself even greater to you. And so when you get down, and your emotions fill you up and you feel like complaining and accusing God of something, the Holy Spirit will remind you of the revelation that we have in Jesus Christ. It's the progressive revelation. When Jesus comes, he says, I am the truth, the way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am all that you need. And Jesus wants to remind us of what he spoke to our hearts when we, in worship, in communion with him, received the promises. So God reminds Moses, and Moses, remember who I am. I revealed myself to you, even greater than to Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, and Jacob. Number three, God reminds Moses about his faithfulness to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let's see that in verse 4. He says, I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage in which they were strangers. It's interesting, but God says, Moses, remember that your forefathers, how faithful they were to me, even though they didn't get the land that they were promised. They were strangers in that land. They lived in tents and they believed me. In the book of Hebrews, we read that by faith they dwelt in that land. So God reminds Moses, Moses, your forefathers were faithful to me. Do you know, sometimes when we get down, the Holy Spirit reminds us. Maybe you had a praying mother, or maybe you had a praying father or grandparents that were faithful to the Lord. They went through struggles, but they were faithful to him. And it's good to remember our heritage. It's good to remember those that went ahead before us. And also, God wants us to remember that we have our children and grandchildren that are following the Lord because of our example. So when you get down, it's good to remember that. That's what God reminds Moses. Moses, look, I have made a covenant with them and they were faithful to me. And number four, God reminds Moses about the fact that he knows the troubles that the Israelites go through. God knows that Pharaoh got angry and increased their labor and the beatings increased. God reminds Moses that all of that he sees. Let's see that in verse 5. He says, "And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant." God did not forget you. When you get down, the enemy wants to put his best lie into your mind, into your heart. The lie that goes something like, "God does not care. He doesn't remember you. Look at you. He forgot about you. Who do you think you are?" We all heard that lie. We all heard that lie when we get down, when we feel that God abandoned us. That's the classic lie of the devil. And God, throughout the scriptures, he encourages his people that he never forsakes us. He never forgets about us. He always with us. He's always aware of what's going on in our lives. Let's turn to this great passage of scripture in Isaiah chapter 40, where God speaks to Israelites. And maybe you are here tonight, this afternoon, and you may feel that, and maybe that lie is bothering you today, that God does not remember what is going on in your life. Isaiah 40, let's read, beginning in verse 25. God says, "To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their hosts by number. He calls them all by name. By the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known, have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." God reminds us that he will never leave us or forsake us, or there's nothing that's going on in our life that he's not aware of. And that's what God speaks to Moses and reminds him of these four things. And then it's amazing. God gives Moses great promises. He gives him seven great promises after these four reminders. If you read chapter 6 in Exodus, let's quickly go back to Exodus 6. Because these seven great I wills, I call them. If you count seven times, God says, I will, Moses, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this. These seven great promises, they represent the whole plan that God has for you and I, the whole plan of salvation. Exodus 6, verses 6 to 8. God gives Moses a word for his people. He says, "Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with my great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. It's amazing. The people that Moses was so relied on did not believe Moses. And if you read on this chapter 6, after having this encounter with God and after receiving the 7 great promises, Moses goes to people and he tells them, this is what God said. And you know what? They did not believe him anymore. They said, no, Moses, our lives are too hard. Go home, Moses. We don't want to do anything with you. And Moses relies totally on God, and he begins his mission. He goes back to Pharaoh, and as we know the story, God performs 10 great miracles, and he judges Pharaoh, judges the gods of Egypt. But those 7 promises, do you know that each one of them relates to us now that we're in Christ? The first one, I love the first one. He says, in verse 6, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. He mentions Egyptians. They're people. It's a nation. But you know, it means to us, God says, I will bring you from under the burden that people lay on you. Do you know, before you got saved, Jesus had to bring you out from that burden that people laid on you. You had to say to yourself, I don't care what others think about me. I don't care what my boss thinks. I don't care what my friends think. That's the burdens of the Egyptians. Because we all, without Christ, are men pleasers. We're afraid of men, but God, he says, I will come. I love this. He says, I will come to you and I'll bring you out from that burden of the people. The next one, he says, see, the burden of the Egyptians, it leads to bondage to sin. In verse 6, he continues, I will rescue you from their bondage. As you read Exodus, you notice that Israelites did not become slaves right away. They were very good, honored people when Joseph was there. And when after Joseph died, maybe one or two pharaohs still respected Israelites. But then the Bible says when a pharaoh that did not know Joseph arose, that's when trouble started. And it says in the Bible that through the shrewd, cunning ways, Pharaoh made them slaves. It's just like the devil. The devil, through his lies, through his shrewd, cunning ways, make people slaves of sin. And Jesus comes and says, I'll bring you from under the burdens of the people, and I will rescue from the bondage of sin. That's what Jesus does. And then it says, in verse 6, I love this. It says, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. When we look at the greatest judgment of the Lord at Calvary, we see Jesus with both arms outstretched like this. And he took all the sins of the world on himself. And that's what God says here. It's a type, outstretched arm. Both arms of Jesus were outstretched like this. And he judged the prince of the air. He judged the ruler of this world who, through lies, takes people into bondage. If you read the scriptures, you will notice that the greatest judgment on the devil was at Calvary. When God performed his miracles in Egypt, he was judging Pharaoh and all the gods of Egypt. All the evil spirits that worked in Egypt, God judged the spiritual realm. And at Calvary, Jesus, dying on the cross, judged the prince of this world. Before he went to the cross, as you remember, he spent time with his disciples, and he actually said to them that now judgment comes to the ruler of this world. And when he spoke to his disciples about the Holy Spirit, he said the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, of truth, and of judgment. And when he explains what those things are, he says of judgment, that the ruler of this world is judged. It's amazing. But let's go fast. The next promise he gives them, I will take you as my people. That's a wonderful promise. God says, I will take you as my people. And you know, we have become the people of God through Christ Jesus. And why does God need people on the earth? Because he wants to reveal himself. Through Abraham, God raised a whole nation of Israel and he gave the law. And then through that nation of Israel, the Messiah came. And that's how God revealed himself through Israel. And now through his church throughout the world, he says, I will take you as my people. And then he goes, and I will be your God. It's a wonderful promise. He says, I will be your God and I will be with you always. And you will know that I am the eternal, self-existent Lord, Jehovah, your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I love this verse 8, the two promises. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In that context, God spoke of the promised land that Israel has now and fighting for. But to us, God says, I will bring you to heaven, to my house. So stop worrying about how you're going to get there. He says, I will bring you to my house. And says, and the last promise, the seventh promise, he said, and I will give it to you as a heritage. Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. I'll bring you to my Father's house and I'll give it to you. So Moses goes to Israelites and he speaks those promises and they don't believe him. Do you know, it's a beautiful picture. God is dealing with Moses to trust him and his word and nothing else. And God wants us to learn that when we're down because of something that went wrong, God wants to remind us of what he did and what he will do for us. And he wants to use us because he says, you are my people and I'm your God and you will declare my greatness in this dark hour. So God bless you, folks. God bless you, our dear brothers and sisters.
Praise the Lord. Thank God. You know, I just sitting there listening to Pastor Ilya, and you and I begin to realize we're all in this together. We're all fighting the devil together, whether it's in Siberia or New York City. We're all fighting, and we all have the same promises. God says his new covenant is, I will. You believe me, I will. You put your one foot in front of the other, and I will do everything I've ever promised to do for you. This is to be a miraculous walk. This is to be a wonderful deliverance. I'd like everybody today who's fighting discouragement, just those who are fighting discouragement, would you please stand right now, wherever you are, just stand up. And we're going to pray, take a moment to pray for you. I'm going to ask Pastor Ilya to come back and just pray the special blessing of the word you heard today on your life. That God says, I'm going to break this bondage. I'm going to break what people have said. There are many here are discouraged because of what people have told you. God says, I'm going to take you out from under that and I'm going to bring you into a place of abundance. And everything I've promised for you, I'm going to do not only for you, but through you for the sake of others and for the sake of the honor of God. Would you close your eyes, stretch out your hands, let Pastor Ilya pray for you right now.
Lord Jesus, we're in your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. And thank you for your faithfulness. You were faithful to Moses. You were faithful to your people. And you did exactly what you said you will do. And Father, we read that in the book. And now, today, in this hour, in this day, I pray for these people who fight discouragement. I pray that you would encourage them by reminding them of what you have spoken to them already. I hope, Lord, that they will hear today again the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would remind them of who you are, of what you have revealed about yourself to the church today, that they would grasp and get a hold of that truth and fight the enemy in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray, oh God, that you would remind us of our forefathers and those that go after us. I pray, Lord, that some of the people here have been running away from you, but their mother and father had been fasting and praying for them. I pray that, Lord, they'll return to you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, do this work and encourage those, oh God, encourage those that thought that you forgot about them. Encourage them with your great promises that you will deliver them from under the bondage of people. Oh God, that you will break that bondage and that you will break the bondage of sin and that you will redeem your people because you are strong and mighty God and you have judged the devil, our accuser, and he has no more accusations against us in your presence because of your blood. So I pray, Lord, bless these people. Encourage each one. Encourage them through your word. Holy Spirit, speak to each heart and use each one of us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.